for the afternoon. And these people need no introduction. They have a fabulous story. But who's coming up? Is it Krista? All right, it is Miss Krista Mecki.
Anyway, I won't even explain that, actually. I will. I'm not a natural blonde. I've had a lot of fun with colors. And this year, where this picture was, I actually decided to be in a Mrs. California pageant. So my hair was super blonde on top, and then underneath it was like a dark red. So it was really cool. However, most of the ladies there were like 2 times my height, so it was a little unfair, I felt, standing on stage. Anyway, it was a fun experience, so, you know, you get to do all sorts of fun things thanks to Legal Shield, but I'm really up here to just kind of talk about getting started and sort of getting started right and quickly is sort of the best way. So, as I mentioned in the briefing, I had 4 jobs when I got started, and they were in the retail world. I worked at 3 different stores, clothing stores, in 3 different malls in 3 different parts of town, well, 3 different towns, actually. And then I had an evening position where I did promotions, and so my time was very, very limited. And to be honest, when I first joined Legal Shield, they didn't really tell me what I was supposed to do. I went to Fast Start training. I didn't Fast Start qualify or level up, so I had failed that. Even though I had a reboot, I still failed that. But I got 1 person to the briefing my first week, and he signed up, and that was it. And then about 60 days went by, and I was plugging in, and I was doing busy work. Anybody can relate? You're getting your office organized. You're getting ready to launch your business. You're getting ready, right? I'm ready, right? But then they kept saying, have a PBR. You need to have a PBR. You need to have a PBR. And I said, okay, that sounds great. Truth was, I didn't know what that meant. So finally, somebody who was actually a cousin to me, had no monetary value, was not in the same lineage as me, but somebody I had met at the presentation, he called me and he said, hey, when are you going to have your PBR? And because I knew him, I said, honestly, what is that? And he said, it's your grand opening. And I'm like, what? I said, why didn't anybody tell me that's what it was? Like, I thought a PBR was something special. I'm like, a grand opening, like invite people over to my house? And he was like, yeah. And now I was familiar with Mary Kay parties and party light candle parties because I was in that company before. I was used to the Avon lady. Like, I understood what that meant, Tupperware parties. So I had a studio apartment about as big as this space up here. I invited a bunch of people over, and so this was, you know, 60 days in, but I really look at that last month as my 30 days, because that first person didn't count. He didn't add anything to the business. But so that month that I did it, I had a grand opening, and I only had about an hour's worth of time between my jobs. So I invited a bunch of friends over. About 10 of them showed up. They didn't even know that they were in my living room, bedroom area, right, studio apartment. Like, they were sitting on my bed, thought it was a couch. Anyway, they were on my workout ball, like whatever I had, I put people in there. But anyway, they got started, and I asked the person, I said, can I do this again, or is this a one-time thing? He said, no, you can do it again. I said, great. So the following week, I did it again. Following week, I did it again. The last week of the month, I was almost at director at that point, and I said, okay, now what? And he's like, well, do 2. I said, okay. So I did a Wednesday and a Friday, and that really launched the business. And so working quickly with people is directing them with appropriate language, in my opinion, right? Because we have a lot of acronyms here. Level Up Q, PCQ, WQ, whatever it is, right? And that doesn't always work if you're a novice to network marketing or a novice to business, right? You got to kind of meet people where they are. If you say have a grand opening, that makes sense, right? Because if you started a traditional business, which this is, you'll want to have a grand opening of it. So when we get people started, it's really making a list. And I told a young lady the other day, we were doing an impromptu sit-down. So she said, I only have 20 minutes. I said, great. I actually went through the app, and I said, this is what you get. And if you share it, you make between $60 and $200. So we should probably get you started, right? And she was like, that sounds good. But I asked her, I said, what I'm going to ask you to do when you get started is 3 things. And I want to make sure we're clear. Otherwise, I don't even want you to go there. That's sort of where I'm at in my business. I don't recommend that for everyone, but that's just how I feel right now, right? And I said, I'm going to ask you to make a list of everyone you know without judging them. Don't prejudge them at all. Put every single person down. Second thing is I'm going to ask you to introduce me via a 3-way call or some other way, a launch call. I said, and the third thing is we're going to get them in front of information. We're going to let people weed themselves out. Not everybody is interested. Not everybody will take a look. Not everybody will answer. But that's not of your control. And I said, so if I ask you to do those things, are you going to have a problem with anybody you put on the list? And she said, well, I don't think so. I said, I just want to make sure you're not going to tell me, well, this person wouldn't be good because of this. Well, this person wouldn't have money because of that. Well, I don't want to call that person. I haven't talked to him in forever. Because then we can't really do anything together, right? We're going to have a very hard time building your business if you tell me why everyone wouldn't work, right? So I just got that out of the way. And she ended up getting started, made a list, has gone through the process. And when I get back, we hope to have her leveled up. So excited about that. But for me, when I got started, I was from Oregon, and I lived in California. The people I was talking to were acquaintances. Now, my attitude when it came to Legal Shield was I honestly didn't care what other people thought. And if you care what people think at all, you got to try to, like, brush that off. Because it doesn't matter who you're talking to. You don't know their situation, right? So in our minds, sometimes, we prejudge in the sense that we're like, oh, it could be embarrassing to call our friend that's already wealthy, right? Because they wouldn't want this, but they need the service, right? Or they know a business owner that can refer you, or they know somebody in the human resources department, right? But sometimes we get caught up and we don't actually go through those lists. So for me, the people I was reaching out to were only people I kind of knew from college, right? They were barely people. So that was my first launch that first month. Then I dedicated myself to the briefing with a guest. And I actually ended up going to two briefings at that point. One was in about 15 minutes from my house. The other one was 45 minutes into San Francisco. And so I said, I'm going to go to two briefings, and each time I'm going to have a guest. And I actually shared that goal with the people at the meeting because I didn't really know these people I was being introduced to, but I figured, hey, if I tell you all, then I'm going to be embarrassed if I don't hold up to that, right? So I put myself kind of on the line a little bit, and I remember every week it was going good. Had a guest. The team started to grow, right? And then one week I didn't have a guest. There was a coffee shop by our briefing. There was a Starbucks, and there were some biker guys that used to hang out, and we kind of got to know each other. So I rolled up to them, and I said, all right, I have a meeting to go to, and I said I was going to take somebody. Somebody has to come with me. Which one of you is in? And I'm not leaving till one of you says yes. And, of course, one of them, he was probably the roughest-looking guy. He was like, I'll go. I said, okay, cool. And I walked in, and they all told me later at the meeting, they said, we were wondering where you got that guy from. You know, he was looking kind of rough. I think he might have even had a cut-off shirt. Like, he wasn't really briefing appropriate, but that was beyond the point. But, you know, having that attitude, and that's really what helped to launch quickly. But when you're working with other people, you have to help them through those reservations, right? If it's you yourself that's here today taking these notes for you to get started, just don't think about the reservation. Don't think about who maybe can't afford it, doesn't want it, already busy, and all of that stuff. Because if I think about it, if my friend would have never talked to me, I wouldn't be here today, right? And it took 7 times of him talking to me. Like, when I say I said no very rudely to him. And he was a good friend. Like, there was no reason for me to be so, like, mean, but I was. I was just, like, very anti-anything, right? So it was like you have to continue on that. And if you're somebody here that works with the team and gets people started, you've got to help them get through that reservation. You've got to talk them through the different people and also help them to make the introduction. Where we often fail people when they get started is we'll tell them, make your list and send them a bunch of videos. Not exactly the best way, in my opinion, to get somebody started. Because we all can admit, has somebody ever sent us anything and we watched 10 seconds and thought we knew what it was about? I get that a lot. Like, my friends will send me, like, a YouTube, check this out. I'm like, oop, and I scroll to how long it is, and I'm like, nope, I'm done. Right? Like, my attention span is that short. And it's not because I don't care about them. It's just I just, unless you got me interested in what I was about to see, I'm not that interested in it until I see it, right? And that's where sometimes we fail. We send over a video, and people say, oh, yeah, that's great. I don't really understand what it's about, though. And then our new person is left to sort of filter through that, and then they spit out everything, right? $20 a month, $25 a month. You can have an attorney whenever you want for whatever you want. Even criminal matters, we cover everything. You know, they say all the wrong things to people. And then they get frustrated because nobody wants to sign up, right? And then your team can't duplicate and grow, and then you get frustrated growing your team because you're frustrated that it's not working, right? So it's all negative, but it all goes back to the point of getting someone started. So when you help them make their list, you help them not judge their list, but then you sit down with them, either face-to-face if you're able to, or being on basically on call for them to make the call. If you're not right there with them, I recommended for my young lady who got started, because I'm here, I said, let's just jump on a Zoom call, right? The Zoom webinar, most people know how to use that these days, or FaceTime if you have it on your phone and your iPhone users, or Google Hangouts, whatever it is. But let's just see each other really quickly so I can give you the breakdown of what I want you to say. All I told her I wanted her to say is the Dave Savola. Have something I'm excited about. You truthfully may or may not be interested. I just want to share it with you. It'll only take a few minutes. Can I introduce you to somebody I'm working with? And then from there, I wanted her to three-way call me in. If they said, yeah, sure, I'm open, I have some time. Now, me as the expert, now my job is to get them excited enough to watch the video we're about to send. That's really the initial only thing that we want to go through because we're sorting people, right? Some people will be in right away, very interested, and watch like 100 different videos, right? Some people will say, I love events. I want to come out to whatever you have, I'm in. See, I was kind of more of a social person. So when my friend was sharing with me his video, his website, the magazine, the DVD, I was like, great, 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 not really that interested. He got me to the briefing because he said, hey, we're going to go out, you know, come out, support me. There's this big guy in town. I'm looking for your support. You know, we'll even hang out after. Now, I'm a dolphin. Dolphins like to have fun. I was like, well, I'm in for Tuesday night, man. Yeah, let's have a good time, right? And it took 7 times for that to be the language, but you got to understand your people you're talking to. So that takes me to another training topic really quickly of understanding people's personalities. So in network marketing, people have 5 personalities they fit into, and they're often called underwater sea creatures because they're actually not fish. You might have been called fish. They're not. They're sea creatures. First one is a dolphin, likes to have fun, likes to have a good time. You can get them to a social event. You can get them to the barbecue last night. You can trick them into it by saying we're going to, you know, play volleyball and eat some good food, and then you expose them to Legal Shield that way, right? It's kind of an reverse approach sometimes with dolphins. They're about the social environment of it. The sharks, they like money. So when you're helping your person build their list, help them to kind of categorize so you know what to say, right? You know what language to utilize. If their friend is a, you know, mortgage broker, real estate broker, big-time money person, stock broker, whatever it is, that's the person you need to talk about the big dollars. You need to let them know they're going to meet somebody that's making over $100,000 from home and has been for the last handful of years. You know, million-dollar earners here in the company. The big, big language, okay? That gets them interested. You can't say to them, hey, you can earn an extra $500 a month. It's like, eh, whatever, right? You got to go a little bigger with them. Then there's the whale. Now, whales, they love to help people. And whales will identify themselves very quickly because of their love for the membership. It usually gets them, and they usually will say things like, I can see that everybody needs this. I can see that this is going to be something that I want to share with everyone. They don't care really if they get paid. They like that they get paid, but that's not what it's about. It's the holistic, we help people. And if you know you have friends like that, you got to tell them, this is helping people. We're revolutionizing the legal system, right? We're helping families. We're helping, you know, everyone make money and protect themselves. The other one is an urchin. Urchins will drive you insane. If you were an urchin, I'm sorry. But urchins like to read everything. They will ask you questions about the back of the associate agreement, the fine print, the company, the history. They will find things that you've never even heard of because you're not an urchin. And you just go, great, okay. But with them, you give them the information. They're the people that may have to watch the 5-minute video, followed by the 7-minute video, followed by the 15, followed by the entire Darnell Self Brian Carruthers 45-minute long-term video, right? They want all of it, okay? But that's okay. But you have to know that that's their process, okay? You know how to weed them out. The last type of person is a starfish. Starfish like recognition. They like to be recognized. They like to be noticed. And you know you've got some friends that are that starfish type. Every time you go out, they seem to end up in the center of it, right? Which is not a problem. It's sort of a dolphin-starfish blend. But with them, you let them know, hey, we're recognizing people for what they're doing. Oh, my gosh, if we get you leveled up, you're going to walk across the stage. They're going to shout out your name. It's going to be amazing, right? So you kind of pump them up. Now, these categories are for your prospects as well as your team. So if you're building your team, understanding their personalities as they join helps you to figure out what to do with them, right? If you find yourself heavy dolphin, you find social things that you can do together, game nights and things like that. If you find yourself with heavy sharks, you do calling parties, right? But you focus on the money of it. You maybe put a contest out there. Whoever does the most 3-way calls in the next hour, like the smile and dial, whoever does that, they're going to get, you know, $100 or whatever it may be. But so you figure out how to kind of work through people. So that's the categories of folks. But back to the list, right? So we take the list. We help somebody sort through the list. We know what we're supposed to say. Now, from there, we just get them in front of information, whatever way that may be. If they're not local to you, you may need to do a launch call for somebody, right? Learn how to use Zoom if you don't know how, okay? It's very, very simple. You can actually do a Zoom while at the park with your kids. It's so neat. Or you can even be walking around. My husband actually did a Zoom while driving through L.A. I offered to drive. He's like, no, I got it. He's literally on his, it was his phone here. He's swiping the slides while driving, while talking to the people, and swiping. Yeah. I could have actually just drove, though, right? But I was holding the GPS and going, oh, you got to go left. And it just, you know, but you can do this business anywhere. You know, it's just, it's on the fly, however you, you know, fit it into your life. But anyway, so getting started. So try to condense time frames for people. If they're exposing their friend, okay, so let's say we've done this now, we've made a couple calls, a couple people are looking at the video, you send them only the 5-minute video initially, nothing more than that because the attention span is not there, or you set up a one-on-one. If you feel like they're a good candidate off the top based on your 3-way call, set up a coffee meeting with them right away. Do a sit-down. Teach your new person how to do the presentation by you showing them how to do it, right? But condense the time frames. If you send a video, don't let them wait 2-3 days to follow up. It's 5 minutes. You should be calling back in 10. Would you like that? Oh, you didn't watch it yet? Okay, wait. I'm going to hang up. It's 5 minutes. I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes. Right? You have to have the sense of urgency. You have to control the exposure. Because if I think about when my friend exposed me, because I said no 7 times, there was probably a 2-month gap there. Had he have kind of condensed it down a little bit, I probably would have came to a briefing sooner and probably would have started the business a little bit sooner. Right? But you think about all these people you have on your list, and I don't know, I'm guilty of it. I make great notes next to people, but there'll be like a period where I'm on top of it and then a period where I'm not. And then I go back and I'm like, ooh, we haven't talked to each other in 2-3 months. My bad, right? And now I got to reconnect with them. I got to go back through the process, got to remind them. You know, so there's a follow-up here that you really want to condense and stay on top of it. That being said also, do not be afraid. Those of you that have been seasoned, do not be afraid to go back to people, even if it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years. Don't be afraid to go back because life changes all the time. And people are not going to call you typically when life changes for them. They may have thought of you, but there may be a little embarrassment for them saying no to you or not looking at it or, you know, there's very few people that will get over that. I've had people reach out to me and go, hey. Actually, I'm going to tell you the whole story of this person. He was like one of the first people I exposed. I thought he was a very professional business guy. And he goes, oh, I could do the marketing for your company. I'm better than what they make. I'm like, great. Anyway, next. So I moved him to the side. I kind of left alone. 4 years later, I call him again. And I said, hey, buddy, I've never actually got to show you Legal Shield. We only had that conversation that one time. Let me share it with you. Oh, no, I know all about that. All right, next. Right, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. Keep you in the loop. And all of a sudden, he reaches out to me through Facebook, like he doesn't have my phone number. But that's fine. I take whatever direction people want to connect with me. And he said, oh, my gosh, hey, girl, are you still in that legal thing? I said, yeah, I am. Why? And he's like, oh, well, I'm going through this custody battle, and my friend told me that I should get Legal Shield. And I thought of my girl. And I was like, all of a sudden, I'm your girl, right? You were just super rude every other time. But all of a sudden, I said, okay, yeah, we're still friends. Let me go ahead and sign you up really quick. There you go, buddy. So, you know, I try to keep those good relationships. I try not to be too harsh when people say no, even though on the inside I want to tell them how silly they are and all of those things, right? We've all been there. We get frustrated a little bit. My first 3-way call that I ever did, this is why you need to do it with your sponsor. Do not do what I'm about to tell you I did, okay? This is for example purposes on the negative. So I was making calls. I called this girl from college. And I said, hey, Kelly, look, I'm having this thing in my house. I really want to invite you. So I was finally having my grand opening. I said, I'm having this thing in my house. I want you to come over Friday night at 9 o'clock. What are you doing? And she's like, well, what is it? I said, don't ask what it is. I just need you to be there. It's an opportunity. Look, I'm really excited. I just need you to be there. Can you be there? And she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, look, don't you want to make money? Look, we go to the same school. I know you're broke, and I know you need to be there. So stop asking me all these questions. That's why you need to come on Friday night. That's why you need to be there, right? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, I'm getting mad, like, at her, right? Because I definitely was not explaining that correctly, right? But I just figured I could bully her into being at my house. Like, I didn't know that there was another script to say. And my sponsor walks in, and he's like, he's like, no. He, like, slaps the phone, and I'm like, what happened? And he's like, that's not what you say to people. And I said, well, what was I supposed to say? And he kind of gave me more of a script. You got to ask if they're open, interested. You don't just tell them they're broke and that they need to be at your house, right? So fast forward about 11 years later, so I've never talked to her again, mind you. And somebody showed up at the meeting, and they said, hey, do you know this girl named Kelly? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Why? And they said, oh, man, I met her at my church. She just signed up. But, yeah, she said that you're not her favorite person. And I was like, great, well, I'm glad you got her signed up. That's awesome. At least I didn't kill it for her indefinitely. So she's only a member, though. She didn't get join the business. But anyway, so not only can you mess it up for yourself, but you can mess it up for other people, too. So that is what not to do. But it's also why it's important to sit with your sponsor so they can hear you and course correct your nonsense. So anyway, that is getting started, right? Like I said, condensing it down, massively putting people in front of the information. And there's so many ways to do that right now, but you want to control it. Don't just sit there and send text messages and dump prospect videos on people. That's no control. There's no way that you're knowing they saw it, that they get it. So we want to make the list. We want to kind of sort through the list, know who we're talking to a little bit. But don't prejudge anyone. They all need to be exposed to it because you never know who can refer you to somebody else, right? Secondly, we need to contact the list with our sponsor. May or may not be interested. Won't take that long. Got something I want to share with you. Whatever order you want to put it in. Like Dave Cavola said, it doesn't matter if you say, I need 15 minutes. You may or may not be interested, but I'm excited. Or I'm excited. I only need 20 minutes or 15 minutes, right? It doesn't matter what order it is. But keep it very simple and duplicatable. And then expose them to the information and follow up quickly. Condense those follow-up time frames. And again, if you're seasoned, have no shame going back through your list to reach out to people. I called people that I had prospected 9 years ago. And it wasn't until like the fourth call that I realized how crazy that actually was. Because I'm thinking, my life has changed dramatically in 9 years. But I was telling these people, we met in San Francisco, right next to the bar. You were wearing a purple shirt. Like, I had details of when I prospect people. I recommend keeping heavy details. You'll blow people away with that. Like, you got an amazing memory. I'm like, sure, right? I do definitely don't. But, you know, but some people got back in the game that way. They got back engaged, and they said, oh, yeah, I'm actually going through this or that, and I need to take a look at something. So, you know, that list is your bread and butter. And I'm old school paper still. I have a notebook with everyone's names and scribble notes. I tend to back them up on technology, but I keep it old school. So at any moment, I don't have any reason why I can't sit down and get right to it. So that's me getting started. And then, of course, B2B and employee benefits, if that's what you do, people are great to ask for referrals for that. Follow your dollar, wherever it is. So, and of course, I know you got that great training over here. So anyway, that being said, I think that's my time today, and I'm excited to be able to kick it off. I know Mikkel has an incredible training laid out, so it was my pleasure getting you guys started right. Hopefully that is some great tips that you can utilize. And with that, help me welcome up Mikkel Mecki for the second half of training.
There you go. I'll turn on the mic. Got it? Okay, good. Everybody good? Yeah. Wonderful. Can we give Krista Mecki a round of applause? That was great. And give me 1 second here. I may have to get a little power because this is not working. All right. Cool. I don't get a picture. No, I'm just kidding. I just unplugged the laptop. It is on this side here. All right. I will wait. It needs a little adapter thing when you have this. All right, so yeah, as we get started, so here's what I'm going to do, because she talked about getting started, right? And I'm going to kind of talk about just kind of how to build and grow your business, if that makes sense. And so I got a couple of things I'll share with you in this training. Oh, my battery must have died, so I will let it fire up here, and then we'll go, and I'll put this here. All right, so I'll jump into it in just a minute and kind of share, kind of going to go through a training that I developed to really help people say, okay, here's how you get started. Here's how you build, and there's some key principles. When I joined the industry, I was what you would call a novice in the industry. I didn't know much. I tried to learn a lot. I had some pretty good mentors. But, you know, sad to say, I didn't really listen. My first couple of years, I was a kind of a train wreck in this industry. I just didn't listen because I thought I could figure it out. Because I come from a sales background, and in sales you do this and you do that, and I thought all those things would work here. And there was a lot of things I thought were working that just didn't. Just things that I thought I could do in selling the product that just didn't work out. And so I had to kind of change my methodology a little bit. And so I'm going to share with you. Well, let me just change this setting here. Because I always ask that about a new PowerPoint. Okay, here we go. Dun, dun, dun. And if I make it a full slideshow. Yeah, I just wanted to get it set up first before I plug it in. Didn't want you to see all the mistakes. Just want you to see the perfection. Dun, dun, dun. Let's see if I can do it again. hopefully that, oh yeah, and it even fixed the aspect ratio. All right, good stuff. All right, give me a round of applause. I did it. Yay. All right. All right. So, you know, this training, even the name of this training, same name of my book, Running With Finishers, one of the things that I had to do when I started this industry is I said, who's having the most success and how can I get close to them? It's kind of a shortcut in terms of building your business, you know, finding out, you know, who is that can teach you how to grow a business and allow you to learn from them. And sometimes you might learn from them in very subtle ways. Sometimes you might get around them in very subtle ways. And so I'm going to talk about how to do that. But when I adopted that philosophy of running with the finisher, what I said is that there are people that are already moving in this business, right? You don't want the leaders to have to slow down too much to try to run with you. You want to run with them. So that means you got to catch up a little bit. And so when you're running with the finisher, there's a few things you got to do in order to be a part of it. I'll give you a quick story because when I first, the first three companies I was in, different companies, matter of fact, one of them was right down the street, actually, For Life. And that was when, but they changed names so many times. But the first three companies I was in, you know, they were product companies, health and nutrition, things of that nature. One company was a long distance company, and there were people making tons of money in those companies. And I was a guy, I went to every Super Saturday, I went to every training, I did everything they told me to do, so I thought. And that year and a half in the company, and I went to all the conventions. So I went to three national conventions because they had them like every 90 to 120 days. And that year in the company, I probably made, I don't know, $400. I know I'm exaggerating. $200 that year and recruited one person in a year and a half. So I'm saying this industry is stupid. This is a dumb industry. These trainers are dumb. Because I'm going to every training y'all do, and I recruit one person in a year and a half and made a couple $100. Y'all are dumb. This company's dumb. I quit. That's what happened. So I quit that company because it was their fault. It wasn't my fault. It was their fault. Dumb training, stupid leaders, dumb product. I quit. I quit that company. Then I joined another company, and it was a product-based company, which was even worse because I had to take the product to people. So somebody would order a $30 bottle of vitamins, and I had to take the $30 vitamins across town, right? I lived in San Leandro. I had to drive all the way to Berkeley, right, through all that traffic and all the, you know, parades and all that other stuff. They always got something in Berkeley going on. And I had to fight through all of that, right, and get there to deliver a $30 bottle of vitamins, and my profit was like $5. But I spent $5 in gas to get there. But I felt good, though, because at least I sold something, right? And that customer would call me every month and reorder stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I got my customer. Yay. I didn't recruit anybody in that company. The worst part about it is I said the trainers are stupid, the company's stupid, the product is stupid, the leadership is stupid. My parents were the top leaders in the company for Northern California. And I still couldn't even learn from them. They were making $15,000 a month, and I couldn't even figure out how to make $50 a month. And so I left that company. And I tried, you know, a couple other things, you know, and I just said, forget the networking industry. And then when I joined Legal Shield, I finally decided to focus on the main variable, me. What am I not doing that's not allowing me to have success? Let me just be honest, because if everybody else can do it, why can't I do it? And here's the thing about Legal Shield. Everybody else can't do it, and everybody else is doing it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Just saying. Anybody that wants to have success there, period. And you can say, oh, no, that's not true. People have tried. You know, you're just trying the wrong thing. You're trying, though. Congratulations. Clap, clap. You're just not doing the right thing. Nick Serban says it all the time. Either you're not doing something right or you're not doing it enough. That's it. There's only two reasons for failure. You're not doing something right or you're not doing it enough. But you can say, but I'm doing it. But if you ain't doing it right. So I go to the gym. I don't know. Any of y'all go to the gym? Anybody work out folks in the room? Okay. So I go to the gym all the time. And when I used to not know how to do it right, I would go in the gym. And I would be doing it wrong with everybody else thinking I was doing something. But everybody else was doing it wrong, so I was doing it wrong. So together, we were just all doing it wrong. Nobody was gaining any muscle. Nobody was losing any weight. But we in there touching stuff. As long as we touching stuff, right, doing this, and I'm gonna go over and push that, and I'm gonna pull this, and I'm gonna jump on this, and I'm gonna stand on one leg, and I'm sweating. I did it. Woo! No changes. And then one day, I decided, let me look at what this dude is doing, right? Because, you know, you're in the gym sometimes. You see somebody, and they look like they should just leave. Not because I'm saying they should leave because they're done with the muscle thing. You've got all the muscle you ever going to get. Leave. Like, you don't need to be here. It's, oh, you don't need no more muscle. Stop being greedy. I really want to say that to them sometimes. Like, why are you still working out, bro? You won. You got it. Just go home. Enjoy your life. But anyway, they do it. They just keep working out. Maybe that's why they look good. But I started watching him. I started doing what he was doing. And he didn't know. I'm just kind of sharing. I'm like, oh, is that how you do it? And little things. And all of a sudden, I saw changes that I couldn't find on my own. I said, oh, because I didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't that I couldn't work out. It was that I didn't know how to do it. And in what sequence? You know there's a sequence to it, right? You can't just work out the same every day. There's a sequence. There's a sequence to success in this industry. But most people never attain success because they're all out of sequence. If you learn this business out of order, it might take you 10 years to get back together. If you learn it out of order, you're in trouble. And the challenge, now I'm going to let you off the hook. The challenge is in Legal Shield, we tend to teach you things out of order. Not on purpose. We just throw so much at you that we don't even know what to give you sometimes. It's just coming left and right all out of the sky. And all of a sudden you get all of this stuff. You're like, I'm in Legal Shield. And then you don't know what to do. And we're trying to get better at that. We are. We're trying to get better at that. My suggestion to corporate was let the trainers train and everybody else sit down and shut up. That was my suggestion. It might not be taken, but my suggestion is the people that know how to teach things in order are the only people that should speak. Because sometimes, some of y'all, you know, you have kids, right? And there's certain things you say to kids, certain things you don't. Some parents just should be parents. I'm going to leave it at that. All right. All right, so that's me. That's my wife. This is my family. The kids, so that's my oldest son, Hassan. He's, how old is that boy? 26. I'm going to defer to her for most of these answers. My other oldest, he's 24. He's 21. That's Hassan, Taji, Mikhail, Sally, and then my daughter, Isan, is 19. There you go. I got it. I got all ages right. So the kids there, my wife over there, obviously, and we've done all of this stuff. This is fun, right? And, you know, really the book, when I wrote the book, it was just out of how can I leave behind or how can I share something with people about my experience, because I figure that a lot of times people hear stories, but they don't know the story behind the story, and there's always a story behind the story. Nobody just comes in this thing and has this dramatic success without something have happened prior to them joining. So let's talk about, so this whole training is about what do finishers focus on? And this is in order, by the way. This is in order. So if you're here today, how many people are new today or just coming out for the first time? New today, just coming out first time? Okay, give them a round of applause. Right? This is good, right? So I get to teach y'all something in order, right? So you're, because you got to know what you know. Right, I was talking to my man back here. He's in medical sales, and that was my background. Slightly, I did medical billing, so not medical sales, but medical billing. But the reason I got medical billing is because I had spent 6 years in the field as an EMT doing critical care neonatal transport. And so, because I spent 6 years doing that, when they asked me to become a medical biller, I'm like, medical billing? I don't know anything about CPT and ICD-9, and I don't know anything about all that stuff. But what they said is, no. You've been in the field doing actual practice and work in the hospitals and the neonatal units, so you understand all this terminology. So now when you see it, it'll be easier for you to bill it. And I was like, I don't know. I ended up joining, when I started with that company, because I had 6 years understanding medicine from the field side, the clinical side, when I got into the administrative side, I was their number one biller. I was like, I would throw through charts like that because I had all this terminology in my head. They said what most people do, they don't learn anything about medicine, and they try to become a medical biller, and so they got to learn everything backwards. They're learning about, see, when I saw a chart, and the minute they said they had to use a cut-down tray on a neonate, I would know all the stuff they had to use, because I'm like, oh, I know what you got to do. You got to get a butterfly, you got to get this, you got to get that. And so because I had all that in my head, I would start billing for stuff before I even saw it on the chart, because I know you can't do this without this. But it's because I learned it in the proper order. Other billers were under-billing, and they were losing hospitals money, because they didn't understand medicine, so they were trying to do something without a proper understanding. The same thing is happening here in this company. People join, but because they don't understand the order of importance, they end up making a lot of bad decisions, or they don't know how to build this thing. See, finishers focus on what is important, and that's all you focus on. Now, I had to fight for this when I first built my business. Matter of fact, my first month, people were coming to me and saying, have you heard about this? And have you heard about that? And I was like, and I would say to them, that doesn't exist. They would tell me about stuff. Brand new people come to me and say stuff, and I say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't exist. Now, I'm not trying to run by the wrong way, so let me explain what I'm saying. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to explain what I'm saying so you don't get mad at me. Okay? So I need you to bear with it, because I'm going to say something, and some of y'all are like, oh, don't say that. But listen to what I'm trying to say first before you disagree. New associate would come to me, brand new associate. And they say, oh, I heard there's a CDLP class. I want to go to that. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Ain't no such thing as CDLP. No, I saw it. They sent out an email. There's no such thing as CDLP. No. Did you make your list? Did we do your private business reception? Right? But I want to go. No, because here's why. They don't understand anything about legal shield. The history, Harlan Stone's vision. They don't understand anything. And now they want to jump into something that's probably going to destroy them. Because if you've ever, and I've done CDLP, it's not fun at a truck stop. It's a scary place sometimes. And it's not because the guys are mean. It's because you think they're mean. They're the nicest guys in the world. But my first CDLP, I was sitting there like, I'm scared of these people. And then once I started talking to them, I got comfortable. I realized that they just flow differently. And sometimes they don't have a lot of time to talk. They're like, look, I'm just trying to fuel up and get out of here. And you're trying to say all of this stuff. So I had to learn the product to then learn how to talk to them more efficiently. But see, if I had to try to do that day one in the business, that wouldn't have been a good thing. Not only that, because there's a degree of failure when you first go out there sometimes. If I wasn't cemented in that while I was in Legal Shield, I would have let that situation throw me out the business. See, I didn't get involved with any of that other stuff until I knew why I was in Legal Shield. So focus on what's important. So new people, the only thing that you are allowed to talk to me about is 3-in-1 or 6 membership. Period. I don't want to talk to a new person about, hey, I want to get involved with employee benefits. Great. But can we get your first 3 customers? Because if you can't even talk to 3 people, mama, sister, cousin, brother, and I need you to experience how it feels to fill out an application or go online, how it feels to call the home office about something, how it feels. Have you even used a membership yet? Let me just, I know, I got you. I want to make you, I want to put you at the top. Here's how I know this is true. I have insurance brokers that join my team all the time, and they drive me nuts because they don't get the membership. They join as a broker, and they never sell anything. And I call them up. I say, you know what? I was just calling one of them the other day. I say, you know what? You know why you haven't sold anything? You don't have a membership. None of your staff has the membership. You have no idea who we really are. You just added this as a product line, but you don't even, like, I'm sure you have medical coverage, right? And that's why you sell medical. I'm sure you have, whatever you sell, I'm sure you have it. But sometimes people join Legal Shield and they just feel like, oh, I'll figure it out and I'll wing it. So one of the most important things as a new person is focus on what's important. If you're a senior associate, the most important thing for you right now is to get the manager. Figure out everything that it takes to get the manager and focus on that. Yeah, we throw these bonuses up here. Oh, you can get $1 million if you go platinum. Look, you ain't never going to go platinum, so forget about it. How do I know you're not going to go platinum? Because you ain't went manager yet. Like, how can you focus on something and you haven't done the thing that's right in front of you? Now, I'm not saying you can't ever go platinum. I'm just trying to be drastic to hurt your feelings and get your attention. All right. And it works, huh? See? All right. See, so I'm going to go platinum. I was kidding. All right. Now, here's the thing. So, number one, you got to create your vision. Once you focus on what's important, what do you want out of this business? Go hang around some people that have the lifestyle you want. And then maybe spend some time with people that have the lifestyle you don't want. Because you need to create your vision. Why are you here in this business? What is your vision for success? What does success look like to you? If you can map out your perfect day, what would it look like on average? Does your perfect day involve getting in traffic? Which I didn't realize y'all had in Utah until yesterday. I was like, y'all got traffic. This is for real. I just thought it would be no traffic and things would flow smoothly, but I guess traffic has hit Utah. So is that exciting to you? Is traffic exciting to you? Is getting up in the cold when it snows, shoveling the driveway? And I mean, I know it's not that bad out here, but still, is that exciting? Or is it, I want to live where I want to live? I was on a plane talking to a woman the other day, and she's like, oh, I live in this home here, and I live in this home here. And I'm like, she has a lifestyle where she's able to travel and change homes based on what temperature she wants to experience, right? But I'm sure at some point she designed that lifestyle. She created it. It didn't happen by accident, right? She created a life that had a vision. I love Dave Hall's story. It's one of my favorite stories, right? Because at some point, he stopped just living life and he started creating life, right? I mean, for real, because he got kids, but you get my point. He started creating life, right? But I don't know. Would he have as many children and live the lifestyle if he was still working labor jobs? Those kids wouldn't have the life they have. They might not even be here if he hadn't chosen to create a vision for his life. His unselfishness to create a vision for his life has now given life to all those beautiful children and his wife. Now they have a life that others would dream of because he made a decision. But what if he didn't make that decision, though? What if he said, I'm just going to take what life throws at me. I'm not going to try to create anything. I'm not going to live off of vision. Because, see, vision is what you can't see. Sight is what you see directly in front of you. So when I say create a vision, sometimes you got to get out of the sight world. Because sometimes all people see is what they have, their current circumstances. Sometimes you got to close your eyes and dream a little bigger. And I don't mean that, you know, I dream one day I'm going to own a, you know, a $30 million plane and the yacht. I'm not saying all that stuff. Dream some dreams that are attainable, right? Because trust me, you probably don't even want a $30 million jet. Trust me. You might think you do until you look at the maintenance and the cost of pilot. You're like, why would I ever do that? I'm just going to fly first class. I'll be fine. So don't dream stuff that's just so ridiculous. Dream some stuff that really inspires you that you can go after. Does that make sense? So you've got to create a vision for yourself. So if you haven't already done it, when you get home, some of y'all are already writing some stuff down now, but really write, or just take another 60 seconds and just write three things real fast. Not in sight what you have, but in your vision. What do you really want? And it could be a simple start. You can say, I just want this type of vehicle. I'm tired of a car without air conditioning. You can say, I want this type of home. I want this type of backyard. I just want to take a vacation. Right? Prior to Legal Shield, I thought vacation was going to see family somewhere. You know, staying on their couch, you know, petting a dog that I don't really like. You know what I mean, I love dogs, just I didn't like their dog. But that's what I thought vacation was. Now for me, my vision is vacation is when I pull up and somebody comes out to take my bags at the front door, right? And they whisk me in and to my room and we've got room service and we can lay by a pool. And see, now that's a vacation for me. I see the relatives when I want to and then I go back to my room. But I didn't have that at first until I created that vision. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's happened before. All right. So, now, your goals, to me, are different than your vision. So, what are the most important goals to you in Legal Shield? What are the most important goals? What goals really matter? Right? If I had more time with this exercise, I would have you write your goals in the middle, and then I would have you write the names, like five names around those goals, of people that support your goals. It's kind of that circle. Because if you're around people that don't support your goals, then your goals are always going to be distracted. You know, every time you write a goal and you make a list, you're making a contract with yourself. You're saying, here's what I want for me. This is what I want. This is the lifestyle I want. I'm going for this. I'm going for executive director. At the top of every month, I know everybody does the same thing. You set these goals. I'm going for this. I'm going for the, you know, I want that $5,000 bonus. Going executive 3 months. So people set those goals. And you say, I want to make this much money. I want to help this many people join the team. Maybe you have some other goals, right? I want to pay off debt. I want to save this much money. You have these goals. So that's a contract with yourself. And the only way to do it is to be self-disciplined. But here's what happens, and here's why it's important. Who are the five people around you that support your goals? Circle of influence. Here's why that's important. Because every time your phone rings, I know this happens for me. I don't know. This happens to y'all, too. Every time your phone rings, somebody's calling, but they want something from you. Typically, they're not giving something to you. Does that kind of happen? Usually when somebody calls you, they want something from you. They want your time. They want your money. Or, hey, can you come help me move? Hey, can you do this for me? Hey, do you want? But every time somebody calls you, usually it's not something that benefits you. Typically, when your phone rings. Just think about it. Every time the phone rings, how often is it something that benefits you? Or how often is it something that takes away from your time, your energy, your money? And I'm not saying that's bad, right? But, like, my kids very rarely call me to give me anything. Very rarely. They always want something. It's like, I gave you life. Wasn't that enough? No. I need everything else from you, the money and your health and your sanity, right? They just take everything. That's what they do, right? I love them, but my kids, that's how my kids are. Y'all kids are the same. My kids are crazy. But in that, that's what happens. So when my phone rings, I always have to ask myself, do I need to answer this call? And I think about my goals, and I ask myself, are these people that are calling me in line with my goals? Because if I answer this call from this person, so some of y'all are going to have to start sending people to voicemail a lot more often. Right? A lot more often. If I ask, Darnell Self is a master at it. Darnell Self is so focused on it. That's why he's making $1 million a month. And you break that, you know, or $1 million a year. Excuse me. He will be making $1 million a month. He has $1 million a year now. But that's why he's making that kind of money. Because when his phone rings, depending on what time of the day it is, he sends it to voicemail if it's not somebody that's in line with what he's trying to do. I have associates in my organization that when they call, I got the problem associates. Right, all they ever call me about is a problem, which is never really a problem, not even close to an emergency. It's just big to them. And they call me with that stuff. And so I know during the business, I don't answer their call. Right? And I tell them, hey, you call me about this problem. We can solve that. Can we solve that at 10 o'clock tonight? Because if I talk to you for 20 minutes about what you're talking about, my energy and my awareness is now focused on problems, right? Now, I was trying to wake up and live my life on solutions today. I was trying to create success today. I'm trying to help people. And now I got a 20-minute phone call about a problem. So now all of my energy is focused on problems. And energy attracts the same type of energy. So if I'm having a problem conversation, then I'm going to see a problem at the stoplight when somebody cuts in front of me. I'm going to have a problem with this. Because I'm all in this problem mode. So when I get up, I control my day. Like, no, I'm excited. I'm positive. I have energy. And so everybody I talk to during my business hours has to be in line with my goals. You can handle problems at night. Now, we used to be a little drastic when I got involved with the company. Mr. Self used to say things like, you know, we only handle problems after midnight. That's what he said. If it's a problem, call me after midnight. We'll handle it. And he was dead serious. And people would call him at 12 and say, are you up, Mr. Self? I have a problem. Right? Now, if somebody waits till midnight to call you, it's probably a big problem. But you know what I found out? Most people won't call you. Like, you know, it ain't that important. Really wasn't. And if you let them wait a day, it's amazing how they usually solve the problem. Right? Because let's keep it honest. You know, and I don't mean it's derogatory in any way, but small people always have small problems but think they're big. That's just who they are. That's why they can't get nowhere in life. Every little small problem is this major problem. Big people deal with big problems, and they treat them like small problems. It's amazing. I heard that your senior associates, your managers, they might take 2 weeks to deal with an issue. An executive, might take a day. A platinum, a ringer, and a millionaire club member, we take about 60 seconds. We literally deal with all problems in 60 seconds. Because we understand, going back to my medical background, we understand the root of the problem, the symptom of the problem, the solution for the problem. While you're telling us the problem, we have already figured out the solution and we're waiting for you to shut up. While you're telling us, we're listening going, oh my God, I know what you're about to say, but if you would let me speak, we could be done with this conversation in 30 seconds. I got your solution. Now here's the problem with the 30-second solution. A lot of times you don't want to accept it because it seems too easy. Like, oh, that's too easy. Mr. Bayer was too easy. But as a concept, I think it's called Occam's Razor. Occam's Razor means the simplest answer is the answer. The simplest answer is the answer. And a lot of times we have a difficult answer in our head that we want to try to use to solve a problem, and that's not the answer. It's simple. You get a call, oh my gosh, my new associate, they got started, and they sent out a video, and this happened, and the person said this to them, and that to them, while you're doing all this, I'm saying, okay, that's that new associate's probably not going to make it. I know it. I want to say it. But I got to listen to your whole story about your new associate. And can you talk to him for me? Because now they're negative and they don't want to do the business anymore. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't ever want to talk to them, ever. Right? I don't. But I will, just to show you that after I talk to them, that they were on their way out anyway. But then here's what I do now. I say, let me ask you a question. How long have you known this person? I've known them for 15 years. Have they always been negative? Yeah, Gladys always been negative. So what did you think was going to change? You thought $99 in an associate agreement was going to give her a lobotomy and she was going to be... No! Same person. Gladys, same person. Gladys, the associate, is the same person as Gladys, your high school friend. She always been negative. You recruited the problem. See, I hate when people recruit a problem and then don't want them to be a problem. Look, there was a problem out there in that world, and now they get into this world, and they're still going to be a problem. So you bring problems, that's your fault. You deal with it. Okay. All right. We'll help, but I'm just trying to help you out. Plan for pitfalls. You got to be ready for pitfalls in a couple of different ways. One, you got to be a little more personally developed so that when something goes bad in your business, you don't go with it. Right? Things are always going to go wrong. You got to plan for that. You got to plan for that. End of the month, you're running for a position. You need 4 more memberships. Plan that 2 people that promised you on their mother's life that they would get the membership really didn't mean what they say, or maybe they don't love their mom because they're not getting the membership. You got to just plan for that. They said they're going to get the membership. I got to come by and get it. It's the last day of the month. Just trust that somebody's not going to be home. Just trust that something's going to go wrong. Just trust that when they get to your house, they're going to be like, oh, I forgot my wallet. Just trust that. You got to plan for that. I've seen people miss performance club. I've seen people miss bonuses because of one membership, and I'm like, you didn't plan for that, right? We were out yesterday on the ATVs, right? And one of them had a carburetor, and we got up to that high elevation, and it broke down. Now, an hour away from human civilization up in the mountains. Nobody has cell phone signal. Hail is coming down on us. It's raining. Coyotes are trying to eat us. It was scary, right? It was scary. It really was. Y'all like, we ain't got no coyotes in Utah. It don't matter. I made that up because it sounded more exciting. See, it made the story better. If I didn't say coyotes, it wouldn't have been good. But here's the thing, though. But, like, that happened, and Dave was like, oh, just get the rope. He just got the rope, tied it around the other thing. We tied it to the Jeep. Steve started the Jeep up, and then we pulled we just pulled the ATV. I mean, we planned for the pitfall. But what if we had been up there like, oh, we ain't got no rope. Oh, we don't have this. We don't have a hoist. We don't have winch. We don't have any of that. So I guess we'll just leave this thing here. Yeah, we'll just leave the $10,000 machine sitting on the side of the road. We'll just leave it here. See, that's what happens when you don't plan for pitfalls. And look, you're going to get disappointed in this business. Just plan for it. It's life, but don't act like no other company or thing you've ever done hasn't disappointed you in the past. People want to come here and want perfection. They want the corporate office to be perfected. They want the law firm to be perfected. What if we started demanding that of you? Perfect perfection. Don't ever make a mistake. Don't ever say nothing wrong. We don't do that to you. Don't do that to yourself in the business. You got to plan for pitfalls. Things are going to go wrong. Things happen. Right? I love the fact that we played volleyball yesterday with the law firm. Because you got to realize that they're humans and good people and want good things for you like you want good things for them. But are we going to sell the membership improperly sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't have said. May they make a mistake every now and then? Yeah. But we're all humans. But you got to plan for that. So if somebody calls and said, oh, the membership didn't do this, you got to plan for that. So you should have a story to say, hey, I can understand. I know how you feel. Here's how I felt. This is what I found out. Right? So plan for that. Make sure. Another thing to plan for pitfalls is save some money. This is a business. The money averages out over the year. It ain't the same every month. People make this mistake all the time. I made this mistake in the beginning. I'm like, oh, I got $9,000. I'll get $9,000 next month, too. And $9,000. And you just think it's going to be the same amount of money every month, and it's not like that. You can have a $10,000 month. You can have a $4,000 month. This month, oh, man, my money went down to $4,000. I'm like, no, dummy, you own a business. It's not the same all year long, right? Santa ain't making gifts. Well, I don't even believe in Santa. But if he was real, he ain't making gifts all year long. He's not even making those gifts. He's got slaves called elves. But he does, and we should shut that man down. I'm just kidding, right? But you got to plan for the pitfalls, my point, right? Okay, y'all got it. All right, good. So save your money. That's all I'm trying to say. Save money. That is why. And I don't have a chimney. I have an electric fireplace, so there's nowhere to come down. Okay. Now, you got to find a finish. All of y'all have an upline. I hope you all know your upline executive at least. Maybe not your upline platinum because, you know, there's only so many platinums in the company. So maybe don't know your upline platinum. But you should know your upline executive. Find a finisher and run with them. Find out ways. Now, if you're like my leadership was in Baltimore, I was in Oakland, California, so there was 3,000 miles of a distance. So I couldn't run with them physically, but I can talk to them on the phone. I can hear what they were doing. I can learn from them. I can listen to conference calls with them. And so stay with the leadership. Take your advice from those that have what you want. So when you're running with the finisher, that means that your leader is saying, look, I'm in performance class every month. Just figure out how they're doing it and do it. Figure it out. Just say, oh, non-negotiable, I'm in that every single month, right? I was in performance club for the first 3 years, and then somebody said, well, how do performance club qualify every single month? And I had to, like, figure out what to tell them. It's like, I don't really know, because all I'm doing is what my leadership taught me to do. I don't even look at my points. For 3 years straight, I never really paid. I never said, oh, it's the end of the month, I got to get one more point. I never did that for 3 years. I was always over by how much I couldn't possibly tell you, because I was just running, and running produced results. When you look at Performance Club, it's really the numbers for like a super part-timer. Not a part-timer, not a full-timer. That's a super part-timer. A couple of memberships and a recruit. 180 points, super part-time. It's not hard to do, but you've got to figure it out. Back when I started, it was 5 points. And we had 10. We moved the thing around a bunch of times. But it was easy to do because the leader, when I'm talking to Mr. Self, he would say, oh, man, I just came from a sit-down. Oh, I just prospected this lady at the gym. Oh, I just did that. And so when I was out, I was like, oh, yeah, I just talked to this person. I just followed up with my cousin. Or I just sat down with coffee with somebody. And so I just found a way to get in a rhythm. Do you have a rhythm for your business? You got to really think about that. Like, what day do you work your business? What day of the week? Or is it just hodgepodge when it ever comes to you? What day are you doing it? You got to have a rhythm. You got to find a way to make it work. And then once you find a rhythm, then you got to see if it's working, and if it's not working, you got to retool it a little bit. But your finishers, your leaders, they have a system. If they work full-time, then they do the business on the weekends. And so if you find somebody that fits your schedule and they're only working it on the weekends, find out what they do and then do what they're doing. Now, that's if they're successful. Finishers are successful. They're people that have finished the goal and they're moving to the next goal. Don't go talk to somebody who does not have success in the company and they say, hey, what are you doing? Because that doesn't make sense. That's like asking a sick person, how did you get sick? I want to get sick, too. That's not smart, right? Okay, got it. Got to use these analogies to help out a little bit. Plus, it's funny for me. All right. Now, here's what we got to do. We've got to have perfect prospecting. We got to perfect it. We've got to perfect prospecting. And I'm telling you, the simplest answer is the answer. Legal Shield, we have gone around the block to come back to the same concept that built this entire company. The belly-to-belly business. Dave Zavola said two a day in a weekly meeting. And somehow we've spent millions of dollars worth of research and got the best of the best minds in the world in network marketing in the room to finally come back and say, we need to start doing two exposures and attend our weekly meeting. I'm like, the man is right even in death. He said two exposures, two a day. And when he said two a day, he was actually talking about two presentations. But we took it, we dummied it down and made it light because we couldn't handle that. Our brains were like, two presentations a day? How could I possibly do that? Well, let's see how many millions of people are there in Utah, right? How many Starbucks coffees are there in Utah? You can't take two people a day to coffee and just spend 15 minutes sharing your business with them? Because that's really all he was saying. He didn't say convince two people a day. He said just share with two people a day. And how can you do that? I mean, he would do it on airplanes. He would do it in a hotel lobby, right? He just would figure out a way to do two a day. This is without all these fancy apps and all these other things. Now people are like, wow, what? Somebody today said, what video should I send? I said, what video do you like? I said, well, then send that one. You know why? Because there is no right video. Nobody has a right video. There is no right video. How do I know? Because we keep changing video. But everybody wants to know, what video do you send out? What video do you like? Because that's the video that you'll promote the best. There is no right video. Man, how do you use prospect? I don't know. Just figure it out. If you like it, use it. That makes sense? So prospecting is literally sharing your service or opportunity with somebody. That's it. Can everybody say this? Are you open? That's prospecting. Just asking people, are they open? If somebody says they're closed and you walk away, and they say, why are you walking away? I go, well, you're closed, and I can only talk to people that are open. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do. Hey, you open? No, I'm not open. Hey, no problem. No. Because if you're not open, that means you're closed. Why would I try to push something in to something that's closed? That doesn't make sense. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe they don't want to hear it. It's one of those things where obviously I can't talk to you. I don't even know what one of those things are. So are you involved with one of those things? What are you talking about, one of those things? Right? Prospecting. Sharing with people our opportunity. I prospected a gentleman the other day. He said, oh, man, is that one of them pyramids? I said, the things in Egypt? What do you mean a pyramid? What you talking about? A pyramid. He's doing a scheme where a person makes money. And I'm saying, in 2018, the fact that people are still saying this idiotic stuff is amazing to me. Like, are you serious? He said, one of them things where the person at the top makes all the money. Microsoft? Facebook? Apple? Google? I mean, name a company where the CEO or the president doesn't make more money than everybody. Just name that company. Sometimes people say something like, let me get this straight. You don't want somebody to start a company and then make a whole lot of money because they started. You're against that. Right? Okay, right? Move to Russia. Are you kidding me? It's the most amazing. But here's what we do. We're prospecting. We're trying to tell them about our opportunity. And then we let them derail us and we start having a conversation about pyramid schemes. I don't entertain that stuff. You're kidding me. That pyramid schemes are illegal. No, we're a real business. A company just paid over $1 billion to be a part of what we're doing. So can we have a real conversation now? You just bought in. I mean, we talk about real life. You talk about cartoons. Like, can we stick to the subject, please? All right. Move. All right. Now, here's this. So here's how you do perfect prospecting. I call it P3P because I just needed to come up with something. All right. So peak interest. Peak interest. Ask somebody if they're open. Ask them. I hope it's spelled right. I didn't check if it was spelled right. I just put it on there. But peak interest. Ask somebody if they're open. You only want to talk to people who are open. I get this call all the time. Mr. Becky, can you talk to my aunt? you know, she's really negative about the business and she doesn't think it's real. And I don't ever want to talk to your aunt. No. You started off the conversation incorrectly. Can I talk to your aunt who's negative and doesn't think this is real? Why would I have a conversation with your aunt? She is so negative that she won't even be open to hearing about what we're doing. No, we'll talk to her next month. When I'm trying to help somebody launch their business, I don't need to talk to your most negative people. See, I know what you're trying to do. You want to get me in the battle with this one person and see if I can win, or you're trying to win over this one person because you think they hold the key to the kingdom. I know what this is. If I get this one person, I'll tell you what happened for me. I had a gentleman by the name of Eugene. And Eugene owned a cellular phone store, Nextel Cellular Phone Stores. He had like three of them. And so he had all of these companies that he sold cell phones to. And he supplied, you know, the chirp, chirp things. So he supplied all these companies. So I'm thinking, if I get Eugene, this is going to be my first recruit. And I'm new. If I get Eugene, I'm going straight to the top. I'm bypassing everybody else. Savola, Darnell Self, Brian Carellas, small time compared to me. I'm getting everybody. And so I thought that. So I went and sat down with Eugene, with my sponsor. We went and sat down with him. He said, nah, man, I'm not really interested. And they tried to ask him a few different times, like, nah, man, I see the... They're like, but dude, you already have all these accounts. You can open up groups. You can do this. You can do that. They already trust you. You could be the kingpin out here. He said, nah, man, I'm going to stick to what I'm doing, right? I'm going to stick to my next deal. Now, of course, he lost all those stores. So you see what happened with that. But he didn't see that coming. But I was so upset with my sponsor. I'm like, why you couldn't get this guy? I bought you out here a heavy hitter to get the guy. You didn't get the guy. So I dropped my sponsor off back in his hotel room, and I went back to get the guy. Like, I'm going to get the guy. Right? I stayed in his store until 1 in the morning getting the guy. And I convinced him to join. I was this close to paying for him. But back then it was $249, so paying for people wasn't as easy as it is right now. Now, you know, people just do it like, oh, I'll pay for anybody. No, it was $249. So I couldn't pay for him. But he gave me his credit card. He joined, and I called my sponsor. I said, man, I got him. I got him. He's in. And I was really calling to say, look, I'm better than you. I closed him. And he said, hey, good luck with that. That man to this day has sold zero memberships. Never recruited anybody. Never sold a membership. And in 30 days after he got the membership, he canceled his membership. And I swore that was going to be the guy. I swore. Now, the other thing that happened that same week, and it's funny how God does things, he kind of shows you that, you know, he's smarter than we are. There was another guy I didn't want to talk to. But I was blessed to have him in my presence while I was talking to somebody else. But it was another guy I didn't want to talk to. And I was telling somebody about coming to my private business reception. But I didn't want this guy to come because I ain't really care for him like that. Right? It's just like, I don't know if I want to invite this dude. But I want to invite this person because this dude, I'm like, he drives a super shuttle bus. This guy is a business owner. So I'm not talking to the super shuttle bus driver. I'm talking to the business owner. Well, the super shuttle bus driver overheard the conversation. He said, hey, Mikhail, can I come? So I'm stuck because I'm not a mean guy. I'm not a jerk. What am I going to do? No, you can't come. No, I had to let him come. I said, oh, sure. I was just going to ask you. So I invited him. He came out. He joined. He's one of the first people to join. He likes to say he was my first recruit. There was actually this other guy, but I'm going to let him think that because he likes it. So he joined. From that organization, we have sold about 34,000 memberships from the super shuttle bus driver, right? And we've had about 40 executive directors out of that leg and two or three ring earners from that leg, from that one leg. From the guy I didn't want to talk to. Here's the difference, though. I was out there piquing interest, but I was talking to the wrong people. I was talking to people. I was trying to pique interest with people who weren't interested. When I learned this formula, it changed the game for me. Because I said, no, I'm gonna ask everybody if they're open. But the people that are open, I'm going to get them on the phone with some information. The people that are not open, I'll just send them something or I'll send them on their way. So, oh, you're not open right now? Hey, no problem at all. Here, let me just do this anyway. Let me send you the app. Let me just send you. You're not open. I got it. But at least let me say this in case you ever want to talk to me again. Right? So I'll send them something. Back then, I just gave them my card or a DVD and said, when you're ready, take a look at it. Now I can send them an app or I can send them a quick video and it'll be a link to my website. Like, hey, I know you're not open right now. But if you ever think about making extra income, if you ever think you may need the service, I'm going to send it to you. You'll have this in your phone. You can hit the button. You can get more information. the people that were open, I moved them to the next phase, three-way call. I wanted to get them on the phone with a story right away. I love for people to hear a 30-second infomercial or commercial to go watch a two-hour movie. Right? Like all these movies that are playing here, no one's seen the whole movie. They've seen the commercial. A lot of times in Legal Shield, we meet a person and try to show them the whole movie. Hey, good to meet you. Now look at everything. Like, it's too soon for people. They need to hear a story. You've got so many great stories in this room. I don't know why you're not doing more three-way calls. I do three-way calls all the time. Darnell Self does three-way calls for us all the time. I say, hey, I just met a gentleman. He's excited. He does this, this, and that. I was just sharing your story. And he'll get on the phone. Hey, my name is Darnell Self. Even with me, people call me. I say, hey, my name is Raquel Mackey. I've been in company now, blah, blah, blah. You know, I say, hey, what do you do for a living? He'll say something. I say, great, here's what I do for a living. Right? Been in Legal Shield 17 years. I got started part-time. Just like you, just looking to make some extra money, and here's what happened for me. I love what we do. Here's the thing. I don't know if this will be a good fit for you, but I understand, you know, Damien has invited you out to our meeting on Tuesday night, you know, over at the theater. Let me ask you a question. If you can come out, or what, you're meeting here, what, Thursday night? Right, you know, whatever. If you can come out, would you like to come out and take a look at what we're doing? See, a three-way call is just allowing your prospect just to hear a story. Even if they're going to watch a video, a lot of times a three-way call will make sure that they actually watch the video. Because now they're a little more excited. Because here's what happens on a three-way call. Somebody might say, well, let me ask you a question. You know, what made you get started? Or let me ask you a question. You know, are you working this thing full-time? Or let me, they'll ask a question, and if that question wasn't answered, it might have been the very thing that prevented them from watching the video you're sending them. Because there was a lingering question. You want to get those questions out the way. Does that make sense? So three-way calls are huge. Now, if you're not doing a lot of three-way calls, let me help you out if you're going to be a three-way call expert. All we're doing on a three-way call is very simple. We're introducing ourselves. I always ask one question. It doesn't matter what you ask. My favorite question is, hey, by the way, what do you do for a living? Right? I like to ask a question. Here's why I always ask a question at the beginning of a three-way call. And this is for all y'all that are going to be new three-way call experts. I want to make sure that the person's listening to me. If you ask a question like, huh, what? They weren't listening. And now you know you might as well start getting off the phone. They're at the park with their kids. They're at dinner. And I've had that happen. I say, hey, by the way, you know, what do you do for a living? And they'd be like, oh, I do that. I'm like, hey, Dan, what do you do for a living? I'm like, are you busy? And she might say, you know what? I was actually at the grocery store. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. So Damien called me and tell me at the grocery store. Dan, how? I don't want to talk to you at the grocery store because you're trying to shop just like I know how I would feel. Look, what's a better time to call you back? See, now I can be more respectful of her time if I know that she's busy. But sometimes people put me on three-way calls with people, and they like in the middle of taking a bath or something, like they're doing something. They're like, you didn't ask the person what they were doing? So how can we possibly have this business conversation when they're in the middle of cooking dinner? Does that make sense? So I introduce myself, I ask a question, and then I just share my 60-second story. Literally what you see in front of the room when we do a briefing and people come up and share their story, that's what I do on a three-way call. Your story in front of the room is to inspire people to want to take a closer look or figure some things out. Your story on three-way calls the same way. I'm just trying to let people know who I am. I'm real. Maybe answer a question or two and then get them to the next exposure. Does that make sense? And then, of course, present. We have got to go back to presenting. We've got to go back to presenting. More presentations need to be done the other 6 days of the week. The briefing is great. Love the briefing. But the briefing shouldn't be everybody's first exposure. Just not for everybody. Some people don't jive in this environment, right? It shouldn't be. I'm more of a one-on-one guy. 90% of my recruits come from me sitting down with them at Starbucks or meeting them for some coffee place. I don't particularly like Starbucks. I go if that's all there is. I like pizza. It's better. But that's just me. So I sit down with people, right? And I don't advise presenting at a restaurant because that means you got to buy food. And I don't like buying food for people I don't like. So, right? And $12, and then I come to find out I don't even like you. So it's a long commitment. If you find out you don't like somebody and the food ain't even came out yet, now you're like, oh, I got to sit here for another 45 minutes while this person eats. No. So I like coffee because it's quick, right? We can get in and out quickly, right? I'm not a mean person. I just like my time. All right. So presenting. Presentations. So what do you all use for presentations? What are y'all using out here? You're a flip book. Anybody else? V-card? What else? Videos? Flyers, right? So you can print the flyer off the bat. Flyers are a good thing, by the way, now. I know flyers used to be a bad thing because people were making them, but now they're in the back office, so they're a good thing. So when you hear flyer, don't go, flyer, we're not supposed to. No, that's the old type of flyer, right? The new flyers we are supposed to use because people keep getting confused about that. Flyers are good. They're in the back office. You print them out. I use them all the time. Why? Because my bag, I put them on the table. I can go over the business opportunity. I can go over the membership. I can go all of that. You can use a brochure. You've got one in the back. You can use a brochure, right? You could use the Z card, right? I didn't like Z cards because they're just too small for me. But and I couldn't figure out how to fold it back together. So I was like, I hate them. So like literally, I bought 100 Z cards and then I used one and then I put them all away. I was like, my brain can't do this origami thing every time I present. So. And then corporate got rid of them anyway. But they're coming out with new flip charts, right? But, you know, you can use your laptop. You can download the presentation. Here's the key thing to a presentation. Present. I see people do this all the time. I love it when I'm at Starbucks next to an associate that don't know I'm in Legal Shield, and I watch them present, and they're doing everything but present. They talking about how to use a membership. They talking about all sorts of things, the vacations they went on. And nothing in there is presenting. They're not showing any information. I've seen people do an entire presentation, no brochure, no fact sheet, no PDF, no nothing. They literally sat across the person and said, so what do you think? And they said, I think I need to get some. Great, I'll send you my website. I'm so glad we had a chance to sit down. That was not a presentation. We call that in the industry, the technical term, waste of time is what we call that. You've literally wasted your time. If you don't have anything in your hand for people to look at, if you're not pointing or reading, you're not presenting. Presenting is pointing and reading, not just talking. Like when we get up here, we point and read. We don't just be like, hey, welcome to Legal Shield. We don't make stuff up. We do this presentation the same way every week so that you can go out and do it out there in the field. Does that make sense? So, present. I encourage people to go for five. I have a five club, so we have a five live club. And we say, look, if you want to be a part-timer, five live presentations a month. Your goal is to do five live presentations every month. Get in front of somebody. Five live presentations. Not Zoom, not five videos. Get in front of five people a month and just spend 15 to 20 minutes presenting your product. I haven't met a person yet that hasn't been able to get in the performance club presenting to about five people. Just haven't met a person that hasn't been able to do it. Five people a month, right? Now, if you're full-time, you should be doing five a week. You're going to networking events. You're meeting people. Right? Five a week. I love some of these networking groups that teach people, just ask if you become a power partner. Right? Because they say, I just want to meet you. I want to be a power partner. I want to be a power partner. So everybody meets and tries to become power partners. Right? Now, I don't want nobody to be my power partner. I ain't no Power Ranger. I don't need all that. So I don't usually accept those. I'm going to be honest with you. I go to network meetings. They use the term power partner. I'm like, I ain't meeting with you. You just want to sell me something. But, because it is a little difficult. I'll be honest with you. It's a little difficult for them to present something to you and you to present something to them. It's a little difficult sometimes. So here's, and I'm just being honest with what I do, because I have a lot. I go to Chamber of Commerce. I used to belong to all of those. Here's what I do with people. When I sit down with you, because we don't have so much time, if you want the meeting and I'm sitting down with you, then you present your stuff and we all good. And then when you sit down with me on a separate time, because I don't want you to be trying to decide about my stuff while I'm trying to decide about your stuff, because typically nobody buys anything. We walk away saying, that was great. Glad to meet you. I'll refer some people to you. I don't want your referral. Get a membership. Right? So when I present, I say, look, I want to sit down with you for 15, 20 minutes to present Legal Shield, right? And that's what I would like to do. And then on the flip, if you want to sit down another day, something like that, you can present your thing, but just give me my time, give you your time, okay? I've found it works best for me, but present. So five live. You can do five a week, five a month, figure it out. But if you haven't presented in a while, your memberships probably reflect that. I mean, I'm sure these people with the top business salespeople, I'm sure they're presenting. They're not sitting at home sending out videos. They're presenting. Does that kind of make sense? Now, if you want to do what they do, you can take it one step further. When you present, here's how I got in the group for the first time. I learned to ask questions. The one question I learned to ask is, hey, where do you work? My biggest group, I had a gentleman get started. He drives professionally, not Uber. He drives like new cars so they can test drive them for magazines or something like that. So that's what he does all back and forth up and down the state of California. So one day I asked him, hey, where do you work? And where he works is only a couple of employees. He said, but my wife works at this tech company. I was like, well, let me talk to your wife. And I knew his wife because our kids play softball together. She said, you know what? My CEO, he's actually stepping down. And he's starting his own company. It's like, oh, okay. She says, well, he can't do anything right now, but when he goes to the other company, he'll bring you in. I'm like, all right, really, right. This guy starts his own company, and she calls and says, oh, he started the company, and he said, you can come in. So I didn't get to present to him. He didn't come in the room, but it was his HR director was in there. She said, sounds good. Everything sounds good. That group right there, we walked away with about 160 memberships from one group because I said, where do you work? That's all I did. I just asked the question. So most of my groups, for a while, I was a top group seller on my team, and my team never knew I did group. It was like, man, when did you start doing group? I've been doing it the whole time. I just didn't talk to y'all about it because y'all can't do it, so I just keep it to myself. So, right? Seriously, I only talk to people about stuff they can do. If somebody doesn't have the time to do it, then I can't talk to them about it. But the people that can't do group, guess what they do? They refer their groups to me because we ask questions. But when I present, I ask that question too. Hey, where do you work? So presenting gives you an opportunity to learn all this stuff about people. Now, this is another thing. Master the close. We have to learn to become better at getting the business. Closing is not, so what do you think? I'll send you my website. I never, ever say, I'll send you my website. I never say that. One, because our websites have a few flaws I've been trying to fix. They sent the beta version out. And the first thing I said is, I hate the boxes when you have an error, they don't light up and take you back to the box that made the error. Can you please fix that? Because if you don't fix that, this is going to trip a lot of people. Like if you put the apartment number in there wrong and you get to the bottom, try to hit next, and then the next box doesn't highlight to hit next, but then you got to go back up and see what you didn't do right so that you can hit next. Most people bail out right there. Because I had a tech company. We used to build websites. We used to have a technology service, and we used to test this stuff. And anytime people get confused on that, they just like, it wouldn't work. I tried to sign up for your membership. It didn't work. So I asked them to fix that. They still haven't fixed it for whatever reason. They make it highlight now, but it highlights this light purple, so you still can't see it. So we're working on that. We're trying to figure that out. But my point is, that's why I don't send people to my website by themselves if I can help it at all. If somebody signs up, I want to be on the phone with them. So when they hit the box that won't let them go to the next, I can say, oh, I know what you probably did wrong. Let's go back up. Did you do this? Did you do that? Oh, did you click the little box that says, I accept that I'm blah, 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 right? Because that box is tiny. You can't see it, right? See, we've all complained. Can y'all start complaining a lot more? Let's get this solved. Let's fix this, right? The state of Utah will fix this for corporate. All right. So I want to make sure that I'm mastered the close. So when I finish my presentation, this is why I typically use my laptop. I used to use the flyers all the time and the flip charts. Here's why I went to my laptop, the PDF. It's already on the table. They're already used to seeing me touch it. I'm going through the slides. So my close is this. Let me show you how easy it is to get started when you're ready. I'm a non-confrontational closer. I'm not a head-on, so I always use bailout words, right? They can't really bail out, but I use the word to make them feel like there's a door that opens up, right? I mean, there's a way out of this because I said, let me show you how easy it is to sign up when you're ready. So they go, oh, he said when I'm ready, he's not going to make me do it. But I am going to make you do it because I'm about to do it right now. I really am. People don't like making decisions, guys. You got to understand that. This is a $24.95 decision, and people still don't like making it. Or they say things like, I'll do it when I get home. Why would you do it when you get home? Because here's what I do. I say, let me show you how easy it is to get started when you're ready. I say, let me show you my website, because I want you to see what it looks like, so you know what buttons to click when you get home. Go there. Boop, 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 boop. What was that? Now, turn it around. Now, you said you wanted the legal plan, right? But not the identity stuff, just legal plan. Okay, boom, and I hit it. And I say, okay, see here, Terry, see how it says legal plan? Now, did you want to protect your husband with identity theft, you and your husband, or what, were you thinking about that? If she says no, I'm good with that. I scroll down and say, okay, so see how it says $24.95? It's 20. See, now you're showing them real numbers. They haven't seen real numbers. You've been talking $24.95, $9.95, and all of that's jumbling in their head. They're going, I don't know how much this is going to cost. When I show them the website and I spin it around, I say, see, it says $24.95 right here. Terry, that's all you pay to get started. That's all you pay. There's nothing else. See how there's no hidden fees here? You got $24 in the bank, right? She's going to be like, yeah. And $24 is worth protecting you and your family, right? Yeah. Now, let me show you how easy it is even from here. And all I need is name, address, phone number, and you could be a member. And a lot of times people are like, oh, that's it? They were thinking, oh, I got to go home and I got to do this. No, I'm going to do it for you. I said, matter of fact, from this point, it's going to take us about another 60 seconds and you'll be a member instantly. And at that point, usually they say, well, now that we got the website, we might as well just do it now. But if I say, so what would you like? Okay, well, I'll send you my website. When you get home, take a look at it. I may not get that sale. It's 50-50. But then when I'm right there, 90% of the time people sign up. We had a guy the other night at the briefing. And he was all excited. And, yeah, man, I'm going to get in. And I kept looking at the lady that bought him out. I'm like, you know. And she's just standing here with me. He's going to sign up when he goes home. He's going to sign. He's like, I'm going to get in. And then he said, but now I think about, give me about 2 weeks. And I looked at him like, because you're taking too damn long. Get the laptop, lady. She wouldn't do it. So I grabbed my bag and said, oh. I said, so you want to sign up? No problem, but 2 weeks is a long time from now. You might forget this, but let me at least show you what it looks like when you sign up. I pulled out my laptop, and he kept saying, I can't sign up for 2 weeks. I got a lot going on. I said, no problem at all. I'm just going to show you how it works, right? Relax, buddy. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. I opened up my website. This man pulled out. He said, man, look, just pick a card. He pulled out all his credit cards. He said, look, just pick a card. Just sign me up. He went from 2 weeks to, man, just go ahead and sign me up. Because it was right there in front of him. Couldn't deny it. But I see so many people like, oh, my guest is excited. We'll get started next week. Goodbye. Like, where are you going? No. He's ready. Sign him up now. Right? So, I mean, we had some guests out here earlier. There was like 5 guests. One of my associates in one of my insurance brokers in Oakland invited 5 guests out that were here today. But one of the things I agreed with as they were leaving because they were all going somewhere else, I said, look, what are y'all doing at 4 o'clock today? They was like, why? I was like, I'm going to meet with y'all here. I hope y'all sign up. I'm not going to go home and expect you're going to do it by yourself. You got to get started. All right? Good stuff. So master the close. Now, this is huge. You guys got this big time. Learn to build a team culture. Your team has to have a culture. Dave Hall is not the only one that should be doing fight night at the house, barbecuing and cooking. He should be coming to some of y'all team backyard barbecues. Because there's nothing like getting 5, 10, 15 associates together on a Sunday and say, hey, come by the house. We're going to barbecue a little food. And we used to call them calling parties. So on Sunday was our number one day. After everybody get out of church or wherever they go, you know, about 5 or 6 o'clock, we'd have folks over. And plus, my kids were little, so I would let people bring their kids because they would just play with my kids out in the yard. We had a huge yard. And we would just sit there. We'd eat a little food, and then we turn into a calling party. And our whole goal was to invite guests to the next briefing. So we sit around. We talk. Right? We listen to our team training call, and then we'd eat, and then we'd make the calls. And we would, our little briefing, we started out averaging about 20, 30 people at the briefing. When we started doing calling parties on a Sunday, it started with my house. I used to do a calling party. Then I had another associate say, I don't want to do a calling party. I'm going to do a taco party. I'm like, I don't know what you do. Just do it. So she did a taco party. And all of a sudden, she had all the people at her house, and she had a taco party. They had a little taco bar, and they would make tacos, and they would make calls. Then I had somebody else that said, well, look, well, I'm going to have a pizza party. And so he would have a pizza party. So also, my little organization, I had like 5 or 10 calling parties every single week, every Sunday. Our briefing went from 30 people. In about 60 to 90 days, we had 200 people a week showing up at the briefing. Every single week. Because every one, I had 10 different calling parties. So all these people are calling and inviting guests. And if you invited a guest, I'm pretty sure you'll show up at the briefing because you want to meet your guest. So now people who weren't engaged in coming to the briefing started coming to the briefing because they didn't want to miss out on their guest. Does that make sense? And now people who had never invited a guest before because they didn't know how to call were around people making calls going, oh, that's how you invite somebody. And even if you get stuck, here's what they would do. They would hand them the call. So I'm on the phone with my cousin saying, oh, man, I'm so excited about Legal Shield. Look, I really want you to come out and take a look. Matter of fact, but I'm working with one of my business partners. Yeah, maybe she could just share her story with you. Hey, this is my cousin. You mind just sharing your story with him real quick? And she'll share her story, right? And they go, oh, wow, that's phenomenal. Yeah, so that's why Mikhail's inviting you out to Tuesday. Look, are you able to make it? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to come out. We were building culture. We were learning how to work together and be together. Our kids got to know each other. And I'm closer in this business to some of the leaders than I am to most of the people in my family. I've been out of the country hanging out in the pool with Damien and Amber when she was 9 months pregnant. I remember that, right, with one of them, right? We hanging in the pool in out of the country in Mexico. I have never done that with any of my siblings. I've never hung out in the jacuzzi in Mexico with any of my siblings. But I've hung out with this man on multiple occasions. We hanging out, laughing and talking and getting to know each other. Because we build culture here, right? I'm a grown man. I went to Hawaii. I did a Super Saturday out there. And the culture that they had, everything was, you know, food because, you know, they like to eat, right? It's just food and barbecue and fun. That was the first time I ever cried leaving a place. I was at the airport, I'm trying to hide my tears. Like, why am I crying? But because it's the culture that they've built. That team has gone through so much, but they still stick together because of culture. You all have gone through stuff, but you still stick together because of the culture you've built. If you remove the volleyball games and the softball games and the thrill-seeking adventures, and you remove all of that, you wouldn't have this organization. So when you're building your team, you got to connect with people. They got to be more than just a phone number. You got to go out. You know, even if it's small, even if you only got two people on your team, you say, hey, you know what? I just want to teach you how to dinner. Go, and it doesn't matter where you take them to. Say, I want to take you out to dinner. That's building culture, getting to know people. Does that make sense? Okay. Last couple and we're done. Duplication. I will fly through these. We'll teach these another time. Duplication. You've got to teach your team to do what duplicates. What duplicates. You know, piquing interest duplicates. Doing a sit down. You can show somebody how to do that. That duplicates. Right? If somebody wants to do something and that's not in your skill set, send them to the teacher that can teach the duplication. So there's a B2B training class. There's a group training class. You send them to the group training. You don't try to tell them how to do something. That's not what you do. You don't know how to do it. Send them to the person that has done it over and over again because that means they have a pattern. Right? That's why they call our parents our paternal parents. We're based on their pattern. You've got to learn the pattern of successful people if you want to model them and look like them. You've got to be in their DNA pattern, their systematic pattern. Duplication has to be taught. And when you see somebody doing something that doesn't duplicate, you have to stop that and say, that's not, you can do that, but don't talk about it. So if some of y'all got some kooky way that you're getting recruits, you can do it all day long, but if you ever say anything about it, we'll shoot you. Right? I shouldn't say that everybody got a gun in here. But in California, nobody's allowed to carry guns, so I can make that joke. Y'all for real. But anyway, you can't say stuff that no one else can do. You can't do that. You can't be in front of the room saying, well, here's what I do. You can't say that because no one else can do that. So you only get to teach what duplicates when you're working with your team. That's it. That's how you build a huge, sustainable business. It has to be something that everybody can do. Everybody has to be able to do what you do. If everybody can't do what you do, don't talk about it to your team. So I'm going to this website and I buy these leads. Everybody can't do that. Everybody ain't got the money for that. Nor does everybody have the phone voice or the skill set. Do not teach that to everybody. Can everybody make a list? Yes. Can everybody pick up a phone and make a call? Can everybody invite somebody to coffee? Teach the things that duplicate you have a big organization. Got it? Everybody good? All right. Master promotions. Look, we got to get better at promoting. Promoting is not announcing. I could spend a whole hour on teaching promotion. Promotions, when I look at my income and I try to explain this to people, because somebody said, well, how much personal income did you get on the way to making $1 million? And I did the math, and I did about $40,000 worth of sales of the million. So when I look at the $1 million, $960,000 came from the team, $40,000 came from me. So if I didn't build a team, I would be at this point a guy who made about $40,000 in legal shield if I didn't build a team. Because I taught duplication, but this was my number one thing, promotion. I learned how to promote like Don King. I promote. I learned how to talk about the events to get more people to the events. Because I realized that I can't be better than a 3-hour training. No matter how good I try to be, I can't be better. Like even now, right, I promoted this. I got some people here, but some people didn't stay. But I promoted this. So even though I'm giving you this training, financially, this training doesn't benefit me at all. Why? Because my promotional skills weren't good enough to get at least 2, 3, 4, 5 people here from my organization. Had I done that, this training would be me, but it'd be times 3 because I'd have 3 people in the room. So promoting would have tripled my results from promoting. So you're here, you're getting this, right? And I'm saying this as a trainer. As good as you might feel I am, or as bad as you might feel I am. Right now, I'm giving you this stuff, but it's still not benefiting my organization because I didn't promote hard enough to get them here. So you can be the trainer and still not, your promotion still make you miss out on massive income. You've got to get people to events. You've got to promote. You've got to learn. So when you find somebody coming to your marketplace, you've got to learn their story, right? Like your next presenter next month, you've got to learn that story. That man just, he's been all over the world recently. You got to learn his story. He was sending me pictures from the trail in Game of Thrones. He did the whole Game of Thrones tour, like the real tour, over there across the pond. Right? You got to learn what he, I mean, incredible lifestyle. But if you just say his name and say, oh, that guy's coming, it's not enough. Because unless you all have spent time with him, you don't really know him. So if you tell a new associate that definitely doesn't know him, hey, you got to come out and meet this person, that's not enough. You got to find a way to get them to understand that person intimately. Does that make sense? So we got to do a little more research when we promote. will be a little more animated, be a little excited. That makes sense? All right. Good stuff. All right. So last but not least, here's how you connect with me. On my website, runningwithfinishers.com. My email, Mikhail@runningwithfinishers. You can grab a copy of the book, which is in the back, and all that good stuff. So I'll change these colors to white instead of red. Right. Because on my projector, on my screen, it shows up really bright and vivid. It was almost too red on my screen. I was like, this is too bright. They're going to go blind. But now, it's like, you can't go blind. But runningwithfinishers.com is my website. And so I did bring a lot of copies of the book. I brought some copies of the book. Some of y'all already got to autograph it. And the last time I was here, I hadn't finished it yet. But I talked to some of y'all, and we were talking about it. I was like, man, you got to finish this. So I was inspired. I was like, you know what? I have to finish it. Because I'm tired of telling people I haven't finished it. I got all these great ideas and things. And really everything in the book is just things that people have taught me along the way. I've had business mentors in Legal Shield that were billionaires, right? Billionaires is what it be. So when you got somebody in Legal Shield that has earned over $1 billion and they're listed as a billionaire, it changes how you think. One, because you're like, you don't care what anybody says on the street. You're like, look, if the billionaire is in, why would I care what you think? But two, you learn certain principles from people. As I've learned, you know, my mentor, personal mentor, one of my best friends, Darnell Self, right? And the first person to register for my wedding, flew across country to be with one of my good friends. I've learned from him. So I'm just taking everything I learned from Savola, Paul J. Meyer, Darnell Self, everything I've learned from all of these gurus. And I just kind of put it into one collective book and say, this is kind of what happens. This is the industry, trying to help people understand. But it doesn't matter. You can be trying to be a better husband, a better wife, get better in fitness. It's all in there, better in your spirituality. Right? It's all in there because one thing Paul J. Meyer taught, he taught about the wheel of life. Not to be imbalanced in any one area. You can't be wealthy with no spirituality, right? And if you have spirituality with zero money, I mean, somebody else got to take care of you, right? So there's got to be a balance somewhere. And that's kind of what we're talking about in the book. So I only bought like 20 with me. I didn't the whole luggage thing because I figured some of y'all, most of y'all had it anyway. But if you didn't get it already, it's back and we appreciate that. So as we wrap up, let me do this. Let me bring up the gentleman. The manager, I have so much fun with this dude. I love hanging out with him. I really do. Because he's funny. He's fun. But I think the thing I love most about him, and this might seem weird, is just I just love the fact of how he takes care of his family. I love it. I love to see a man do the things he needs to do to take care of his family. Him and his beautiful wife, I love hanging out with them. And I tell you, you guys are blessed to have this gentleman. That's why people fly him all around the country. Because right now, he has one of the true hot stories in the company. And it's been hot for a long time, and it's hotter right now. So please welcome back to the front of the room, friend, Mr. Dave Hall.
All right. Y'all have a good time today? I'm telling you, honor, if you don't have a copy of this book before you leave here today, while you can get one autographed, you definitely would want to pick that up. And by the way, there are still a very few Profiles of Success books still out there from now. They're last year's, but they're $30 if you order them from corporate, and they're so thick and heavy, they're like $30 more to mail it to you. But you can get a few. There's a few of them out there at the table Andrea just told me about. So if you don't have one of those, that's one of the things. As you get to know people like Mr. Mickey, and you have that book, you can just show people. I played volleyball with this guy. I went to barbecue, hung out with them, and then you hear who's coming next month. You're like, you hurry and open up the book, and you like you read their story, and you get to know them. And as you get to know them, when you tell your team why they need to be there, you tell them on a whole different level because now you know their story instead of just I know a name. We've got a couple gifts though. For the Mekis, both of you come on up here. Where's the? You want to bring them up? Mike, come on. We got a couple things. I know you guys.
We already got a pass.
We're going to speak you through TSA to send you back to California with a whole thing of straw.
I love it.
This is like crack cocaine.
This is illegal.
In California.
That is so funny.
We're going to say on the black market.
Right.
You can make so much money
off these.
Money.
Oh.
I know you're a business man.
I'm about to get paid.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Craigslist.
Yes. You can take these. And the real, the resale value
right.
of those. There's a $500,000 ring right there. Right
there.
I'm
going to put them in a museum. That's what I'm going to do. Yes. The museum is strong. Thank you.
Hold on. We ain't done yet.
Okay.
We ain't done yet. Now, this is another. I'm not going to tell the story because when you open it up and read it, you'll appreciate it. And then you have to do something. There's a very special gift in here. But you guys need to open it up, read the inside cover of it, and then follow the instructions.
Uh-oh.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Okay.
And it is funny. It is awesome. We wouldn't send you out with anything. What do you Okay, one time.
Yeah, so we can know it too.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you got to record this.
No. So, Kevin and Stephanie, who are doing a rodeo somewhere this weekend, had this. It's a Legal Shield pen and a little journal notepad for taking notes and stuff. And they gave this to Mike Bishop as a gift when he was here. A couple weeks later, I went to Oregon to do his Super Saturday. And like most Super Saturdays, they give you out a nice gift. And the nice gift that he gave me...
Was it that?
Was the book and the pen. Now, I'm up there dying laughing when he gives it to me, and he's laughing. And we're both thinking this is funny, but nobody in the room knew why we were both laughing, that he was re-gifting the gift that you gave him. So, on the inside is all the instructions and the history that this book has been re-gifted. And at every Super Saturday, when someone comes, well, you guys will then see on the front page, Mike Bishop was the first to get it in July. Dave Hall was the next to get it. Mikhail Mecki, August 4th, the next to get it. And then you re-gift it to somebody else.
Except then, you're our next Super Saturday.
Well, we already know where this is going.
Eventually, it won't be a boomerang, and it
will. Right, right.
Here. But you have to go into Facebook.
Okay.
Tag everyone previously that's ever had the book. Take just only a picture of the cover, and I love this book. Okay. And then tag everyone above it. So over the next few years, I want to see how many Super Saturdays around the nation this book gets given.
I love it.
Yes.
It's a book that can never find a home.
I will do it. Be prepared to see this again.
All right, give it up for the making. Thank you. All right. Now, y'all can't be getting on Facebook when you see that post and making comments giving it away. It's going to take a few years for this gift to become famous in the company. But this is going to be a well-traveled gift that numerous leaders all over the nation will have for 1 month at a time, and then it'll be their job to give it away at the next Super Saturday. And when you open up the cover, you'll read the history, and you'll find out why it's funny and be able to pay it forward. All right, y'all already know a little bit about who's coming next week. And by the way, next month. And by the way, guys, we're constantly going after the top talent in the country to bring them in here for you guys, to make sure that you guys have the best of the best. With all the money that's on the table, the promotions, the bonuses. Yeah, I mean, I gave an example of with 10 people in Performance Club, how literally 10 solid different people in your team, you can go out there and walk away from a job and pay your bills, 10. And so it's frustrating to sometimes see people so close to being, and they don't even know it, so close to being able to walk away from corporate America and have time freedom and financial freedom. The only thing that stops us is our belief level on what we can do in 1 month. If you could just get 5 people here on your team next month, and then they got 15 people here the next month, that's 25 more new people on your team. 25 people on your team here at an event, plugging in. You guys got. It's time for everyone to start thinking bigger and better than what we've had. We're coming out of summer and we're going into fall. I know summertime's between family reunions and vacations and everything, it gets so many distractions. And trust me, I know, because literally up until this point, I've only been at my home about half of the summer. Half the summer, I have been on vacation. So it's been tough to, put together even 2 days of actual work. Because I'm here, gone, everything else like that. But next month, boom, we're bringing in someone not only who's made a lot of money in Legal Shield, but someone who's made a lot of money outside of Legal Shield, being a very famous actor and DJ. Put down September 8th on your calendars for Mr. Mel Roberson. Boom! Yeah. You've seen him on shows like Empire and Chicago PD and stuff like that. He's never, ever come to Utah. And we're going to break him in for the first time. Now, I don't want to break him in with no tea party clapping and a half room full and stuff like this. I need a team effort to say we're gonna have the fire marshal out there ready to shut this place down with a whole bunch of people to say, you know what, I'm ready for the harvest in the fall. I'm ready to take my business to a whole nother level. I think since it's the first week of September, we'll have good weather enough, and we'll probably bump the barbecue up. We've normally been starting at 6:30. If we bump it up to start at 6, could everyone still sneak out of work a little bit early on a Friday night or something to be there? And bring an amazing side dish that's not a bag of chips that you grabbed at 7-Eleven on the corner. Okay, so we'll probably bump the, can you guys be in charge of that? We'll bump the barbecue up to 6 because the sun will be setting a tiny bit earlier and we want to give some time for a Q&A and stuff afterwards. But I want to pack the pavilion there. Some of you, if you're interested in going out four-wheeling with us, I'd love to take new people out four-wheeling with us and show you a good time. Here's what I need you to do. Be in Performance Club and then just send me an email. And we'll randomly choose new people to go out there with us. And if you're like, well, I don't know how to drive a four-wheeler, that's fine. We have some two-seater four-wheelers and we got a Jeep. Mr. Crabtree has an awesome Jeep that... And he has a very special thing that we do for people at the top of the mountain in the Jeep that is really funny. It's really funny. Who was it? Damien was the recipient of our... Damien, was that really funny or was that really funny? That was hysterical. Your son almost cried. He was on my four-wheeler almost ready to cry, but it was funny. See, like you guys, you miss out on this stuff if you're not hanging out with the leader. And we're inviting you. I'm saying, come, go with us. But get in Performance Club. Because I'm going to be rewarding the people who are in Performance Club. Shoot me an email and say, Dave, I'm in Performance Club. I'm interested in going. We're going to try to squeeze in some new people, some new blood into these trips to go hang out with Mel Roberson for a day, having fun, doing stuff. And you see these... Look at these little thumbnail pictures over here. With that. He said, look, Utah has been on my list of places I have wanted to go for years. I've heard about Utah and how awesome it is. But I'm coming there. You guys got to take me out and let me shoot some guns. And I mean big boy guns. So I'm like, we'll do it. We'll do it. We're going to put a whole bunch of guns in the back of your Jeep. We're going to haul them to the top of the mountain. And then we're going to do some damage up there. We're going to do some damage and stuff like that. It's going to be fun. And, we'll grab some, photos and videos and put them up online and stuff you can see. But I want some of you to join us. I want some of you to join us. And so here's what we're going to do. Obviously, you guys are going to come to this event. That's a no-brainer. You can get your ticket out there at the table right now for next month's event for $20. If you show up at the door, it's going to be $25 to get the ticket. But for $10 more... bring another person on your team or someone that you're going to recruit between now and then. Everyone in this room should every single month be leaving saying, I'm coming back with at least one person next month. Well, don't make them buy a $25 ticket at the door. for $10 more, you can already have their ticket in your wallet, in your purse, already ready for them. You should always have the mindset is of I'm coming back with more people. If your team doubled, if everyone brought one person every month, if your team doubled every single month a year from now, there's no way you couldn't be an executive director. Because 2 goes to 4, goes to 8, goes to 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. You see, after a year, you're over 4,096 people. If you had 4,000 people on your team, could you get 50 sales? Yeah. You guys realize that the key to going executive director is having a team that's growing. But if your team says, I'll see if I can make it next month, that's not a team that's growing. But you always set the example for your team. I always set the example for my children. My children are watching me and my wife for our example on everything in life. My parents don't watch my example. Trust me, you know my mom. My parents do not watch me for an example. But my kids do. Your team will always watch you for the example of leadership. Always show them, look, I always come back twice as big as them right now. For those of you that want to go crazy, we'll give you 5 tickets for $60. 5 tickets. So you're even getting another extra free ticket. That's dropping your tickets down to about $12 a piece to hang out with a gentleman who's a millionaire in this company and making an incredible income in the showbiz world. And he's the DJ at our conventions. One of the greatest personalities you'll ever get to hang out with. Grab your tickets, and we'll see you all September 8th. Right back here. Have a great week, guys.
Some nights I call it a draw.